Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You've heard the saying, what goes around comes around. And that generally does have a negative sense about it, but can it also be positive? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. You also joining in, helping us through your prayers, so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. One of the books that I have on my shelf is a book called Boundaries. It's written with Dr. John Townsend, and it's written by a man by the name of Dr. Henry Cloud. And Dr. Cloud tells this story. In a group therapy session he led, the session was quiet. I just asked a lady by the name of Janice an unanswerable question. The question was, what do you need? She looked confused, became thoughtful, and sat back in her chair. Janice had just described a week of painful loss. Her husband had made moves to separate. Her kids were out of control and her job was in jeopardy. The concern on the faces of the group members who were all working on issues of attachments and safety was evident. Yet no one knew quite how to help. So when I asked the question, I was asking for all of us, but Janice couldn't answer. This was typical of Janice's background. She'd spent most of her childhood taking responsibility for her parents' feelings. The peacekeeper of the house, she was always smoothing over the ruffled feathers of either parent with soothing words. The result of such unbiblical responsibility toward her family was clear in her life. A sense of over-responsibility for others and a lack of attachment toward her own needs. Janice had radar out for the hurts of others, but the radar pointed her way was broken. It was no wonder she couldn't answer my question. Janice didn't understand her own God-given, legitimate needs. She had no vocabulary for this thinking. What would you answer to the question, what do you need? We've all suffered pain. We've all suffered loss. As we observe this first Sunday of Advent, as we celebrate the coming of Christ into our world, what do you need? You may be suffering with pain, even anguish over some hurt. What do you need? In a word, we all need hope. The follower of Christ realizes comfort and hope comes only from Christ to meet your needs and others. This morning, what do you need? What you need is to find your comfort and hope only in Christ. Where do you look for help with your hurts? After a typical salutation, Paul sets into saying a good word about God the Father of Jesus and the Father of mercies and comfort. I like the word mercies because it covers my past and it covers yours. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. He doesn't mention the word in here, but grace is getting what we do not deserve. I like the idea that I don't get what I deserve. He is the Father of all mercies and comfort. Knowing Christ brings encouragement. It brings help. Knowing Him brings exhortation and strength. Paul was grateful to God, even though he evidently had seen so much suffering, he looked like death warmed over. Now, I don't know if you guys know what that expression is, but out in Oklahoma, if you look like death warmed over, you didn't look very good. And that's what he looked like. And so, knowing Christ brings the encouragement that he needs. In verse 8, he spoke of thinking that life was over. But the source of his suffering was for the cause of Christ. What is the source of your suffering? Sometimes we bring so much hurt, so much affliction, so much pain on ourselves. Because we hurt and we say, boy, I hurt so bad, I know what I'll do. I'll shoot myself in the foot. Oh, man, that really hurts. Let me shoot myself in the other foot. And we laugh about that, but that isn't that what we're doing? When we say, God, you don't know enough about what's going on in my life to tell me what to do. God, you don't know enough about my life to be able to comfort me. He knows and he cares and he's the one that can comfort. Find your comfort. Find your hope only in Christ. Paul goes on, though. So part of his experience was the physical pain of due to beatings and stonings and imprisonment. Doesn't that sound like fun? But it also may have been an emotional pain because the Corinthian church had turned their back on him at some point. But Paul praises God because of his mercy, because of his comfort and the encouragement that he had given him. Comfort is abundant in Christ. And comfort was abundant in Christ for Paul, and comfort is abundant in Christ for you. So where are you looking? Paul understood that the greatest blessing that God could ever give was in giving us Jesus Christ. We sat around the table, barely able to breathe. You know, you eat to a point and you say, boy, that's enough. And then you keep on eating. That's when you get to the point you can barely breathe. At least I was at that point. We went around the table, all the adults. What are you thankful for? Ultimately, what we're most thankful for is Jesus Christ our Lord. And we celebrate the hope that he comes, that he has come, that he has come to give. Paul had set his hope on Christ. Now just remember, there is a difference in the word hope if we use it as a verb or we use it as a noun. If we use it as a verb, we're not really sure. I hope this happens. I hope that doesn't happen. But we really don't know. But if we have hope, then that's something that we can hang on to. Do you realize that you are what you eat? Your body needs calories so you'll have energy. You can get those calories, though, from a multitude of places. Most of us like to get it from junk food, fast food. Plenty of calories in those things. But really, that's why we Americans have such a problem with weight. Junk food and fast food. Those things don't give your body the nutrients they need. I was talking to a guy some time back who, with his wife, was going to a nutritionist. The nutritionist put them on certain diets, and the physical problems they were having began to go away because they began to seek their energy from foods that were good for them. Where are you seeking what you need in life? Are you seeking from Christ what you need for life, for the hurts particularly? Let whatever causes you pain drive you back to the cross of Jesus Christ. Let whatever hurts you drive you to Jesus. And as he helps you, pass that along. Are you finding encouragement in Christ this morning? Or are you looking for your encouragement, your sense of wellness in things? Things are good. And we like to get things sometimes, but what happens when the bill arrives? Or the thing gets broken or lost? Maybe you're looking to substances to numb you, or new relationships. I don't know what you're dealing with, but what is the source? If it is because of the cause of Christ, look to Him for comfort, for encouragement, for hope. If you're suffering because of your disobedience and rebellion, then come back to Christ. He knows best. Let Him do for you what you cannot do for yourself. The celebration of Christmas is the celebration of hope. Hope that is real. Hope that is come. Hope that is available. Hope that is a person, Jesus Christ. What do you need? Before I get to the second point, let me give you two examples of hope. One is that hope is a good, strong ski rope attached to a strong boat with a powerful motor. You're sitting there floating on the water with a piece of wood attached to your feet. And you're hoping to get up on the water and go. And so what you need to do is hold on to that ski rope so that that powerful boat via that ski rope can pull you and get you on top of the water and you can go. So hope is hanging on to the power of God, the hope that is in Christ Jesus. A second example of hope is also taken from boats and water. You go out to fish, but the wind is blowing. You drop an anchor. You let some of the rope out. And the anchor in the boat slides. A bigger anchor will not help. Where the anchor lands and the amount of rope you let out is critical to determining if the anchor will hold. Hope is a good long rope. Where the anchor drops is in the very presence of Christ. What do you need? What you need is to become a conduit of comfort and hope for others. You are to pass along the hope you have been given. Did you notice the purpose statement in verse 4? Blessed be the God who comforts us so that we may comfort others. So that we may comfort others. Paul came to understand his life was not just about him. It was also about other people, the people around him. It may have been family, it may have been friends, it may have been fellow church members, but his life was not just about him, his life was about other people. And his comfort, encouragement was not to end with him, he was to pass that along. There was also another purpose to his suffering. It was to drive him to Christ. To the Father, the protecting power. His suffering was for the sake of the gospel. It was to prove that God was capable. Paul had dealt with death. He had dealt with the sentence of death to learn not to trust himself, but God only. Paul hadn't learned that spiritual lesson. All I can say about you is I hope as you learn that lesson, you're not real hard-headed. That you learn it quickly. Because comfort and encouragement are to be passed along. Where'd the water that you drank this morning come from? Do you know? Well, it may have fallen as a raindrop here in Macon County. But it may have fallen miles and miles and miles away from here. It flowed down a creek, to a river, to a water treatment plant, or it may have fallen, soaked into the ground, been pumped up out of a well to your faucet. However it came, it went along a path, a pipe, a conduit from the source to you. And in the same way, you are to carry comfort and hope from the source, Christ, to other people, to those hurting. Are you a conduit of comfort and hope for others? Are you fulfilling this part of the purpose God has for you? That you are to be a conduit of hope? Or are you the Dead Sea of hope? Every trial, every challenge you face allows God to prove himself and for you to encourage others with what God has done. You are to encourage others. Is there anything in your life that the accuser throws in your face to shame you, to discourage you? Let that be what drives you back to the cross of Christ, to God's mercy, to his grace. As we move toward Christmas, is Christmas about giving or getting for you? We are to give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. We're to give to the White Christmas, which was this morning. We're to give to Angel Tree Ministry so that kids with parents in jail can have something. Be a conduit of comfort and hope for others. The story of Janice that I mentioned earlier. That day in the group therapy, it does have a happy ending. One of the group members said, "If I were in your shoes, I know what I'd need. I'd really need to know that you people in this room cared for me, that you didn't see me as a colossal, shameful failure, and that you'd pray for me and let me call you on the phone this week for support." The comfort, encouragement, and hope that comes around is to go around. We have these three, comfort, encouragement, and hope, because God in Christ provides them. Are you finding comfort? Are you finding encouragement? Are you finding hope in Christ? I hope so. You say, "Well, I don't really know. I don't understand what you're saying." Would you come and let us talk to you some more? There is hope in Christ. And are you willing to meet someone else's need for that as well?